couple things I want to share with you. We put a note out this week, but we have these Advent hangers, and it's got Advent information on the front of them. There's some of them out there, and we've also got some information on the back of the church that we had. Advent starts the 30th. Would you take enough of these to hang on the doors up and down your street? And that's not too many, unless you've got a big, long street. Or if you've got a small street, take enough for the other streets. But we've got, I think, 100 or 200 of them out there. If you would do that, it just, you know, it just says morning worship, you know, December 2014, and it gives the church address. And it's just an opportunity to let people know that we're here and we're open on Sunday morning. And we also have some of these very expensive pens that we have out here. And these are not for you. They're for you to take and leave at a restaurant when you sign your debit receipt for lunch or to drop off somewhere. You're going to find these in Ross because I'm going visiting this week because we got about 300 of these. And they're out here in a basket. Take some on your way out, but don't keep them. Judy and I are looking at some nicer pens. If you want to keep one, we'll sell you one of those. So that's all, you know, just wanted to, you know, mention those two things, but, you know, please take advantage of that. She walked into a restaurant in Virginia. It was a fast food restaurant. She just happened to walk in there, and she sat down at a table and immediately looked at the man sitting at the table next to her and apologized. She apologized because she had two handicapped children, and she said, "You don't know how they're going to act." Little did she know, she was about to be blessed. Not only did he buy her lunch, he bought her a gift card. And then after he left, and she didn't know he left, she found a note. And that note says, "I want to compliment you on the way you raise your kids." Now, what does that say? That says stewardship. That's what stewardship really is. I jokingly said this morning in class, I guess it was jokingly, you know, because we talked about some of the same things, and I laughed, you know, they know I leave abruptly. I kind of sneak out under the door, but I told them, I said, "I got to go write my sermon." And it was really done before that, but you know. Today's message is about stewardship. It's a time of the year when we pray and seek God's wisdom and discuss with our families, and that's an important part of it, of what God wants us to do in 2015. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom. There's nothing that hopefully that we talk about in here is about us, but it's about attaining the kingdom, finding our relationship with God. If anybody believes that stewardship is all about money, let me give you this disclaimer right now. It's not. It's not about money. Stewardship is a heart issue. And there's no other way to say it. We kind of talked about that a little bit this morning. You have some notes in your bulletin. I would encourage you to pull those out and follow along with that. The message today is centered on a very familiar verse, something that you probably learned in Bible school or Sunday school from very early on. It's John 3:16. You have some of the versions that I put in the notes. I have a couple others that I'm going to share with you. But King James says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The NIV is a pretty popular version. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." J.B. Phillips, if you ever read J.B. Phillips, it's hard to find the verse because he doesn't put the numbers in there. To him, it's just, you know, a whole big, you know, story, which is good. But he says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him shall not be lost, but should have eternal life." The ESV says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." The New Living Bible says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And then the Message, which is a popular version today, says, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life." That's pretty awesome when you really stop and think about it. No matter how you say it, no matter how you slice it, no matter how you cut it, real stewardship is giving your life for others. In other words, because of stewardship, Jesus gave his life for us. And when we talk about ultimate stewardship, it doesn't get any more ending and any more ultimate than that. If we model our lives after that of Jesus, it's no longer a matter of giving. It's a matter of the heart, as I said earlier. It then becomes a much simpler issue. It's no longer, the church is always looking for money, and this church is not always looking for money. But it's, what can I do to better serve God? What can I do? What can I do for him? How can I go about it? What do I need to do? So, you know, when you really stop and think about it, that's what it's all about. And I did it again. Does anybody feel led to push this thing? Because obviously I don't. It's all Jim's fault because Jim changed the PowerPoint. It takes the right attitude to understand stewardship and giving. Was it Zig Ziglar said, "Attitude develops aptitude," or "Aptitude develops attitude," one way or the other? I think it was Zig Ziglar that said that, and it's really so true. There's a law of hilarious generosity that I want to share with you. You may have heard some years back about the story of the armored truck going down the road and money flying out the back door and people stopping their cars. A few people helped them pick it up. Well, let me rephrase that. Well, everybody helped them pick it up. A few people that picked it up gave it back. And that's probably some of those people were thinking, you know, this is hilarious generosity. You know, the guy, you know, somebody's giving me money. Even after the police got there, it took a while to get some of the chaos organized. And unfortunately, you know, it was some people, you know, walked away with money. Unfortunately, the driver probably never realized that so many strangers would take advantage of his mistake. Yeah, you got that. But I think if we look at it today, we'd realize that there's probably a lot of people that would stop. And I would imagine that everyone in this room would stop and give the money back. But it's a matter of heart. It's a matter of what's in us that makes us do what we want to do. In the case of the flying funds and the generosity was there, it was completely unintentional. And I don't think that driver realized he was going to lose his job as a result of that, but he did. And so, you know, his mistake cost him more than just what, you know, it might have cost. But biblical generosity is not like being manipulative. Sometimes it's reluctant giving if we're pressured to give, if we're pressured to do something. Sometimes it's manipulative. I got it out. If we have an ulterior motive in doing it, if we're trying to get some type of recognition for it, or, you know, something like that, it's not uncommon for generosity to be self-serving. when someone gives to get attention for what, you know, for what they do. You know, Bill Gates is a generous man, but he doesn't mind letting people know how much money he gives away. And so what's the motive? We were talking today about, I'm going to steal some of Jim's stuff, you know, about giving away, you know, $5, $10, and that sometimes is what's reasonable. It's not, you know, and you don't go, you know, tell everybody that, you know, I gave so-and-so $5. That's not what it's all about, or $10. That's not what it's all about. It's all about the heart. Stewardship is not all about giving money. In real contrast to this, biblical generosity, which is not like any of those things, it's not intentional, it's not the least bit reluctant, it's not manipulative, and it's definitely not self-serving. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're talking about, from John today in class, and death, you know, and what's death to self? And it's, you know, and is it death to greed? Is it death to what I want to keep all the stuff, all the, you know, my time to myself? I don't want to give time. I don't want to share my time. I don't want to do anything. That's not what stewardship is. After all, giving and doing things is a joyous event. It's part of the principles of really hilarious generosity, of having fun doing what we're doing. No matter, you know, whether we're giving our time, our talent, our skill, our love, our ability. And, you know, I'll say money, cheerfully, if you consider giving all that stuff and it's manipulative and it's reluctant, I'm going to tell you something. Don't do it. That's a tough thing to say. But if it's not out of your heart and it's not a matter of the heart, there's no benefit to it. Because to the Christian, that's what it's all about. That's what life is really all about. So if it's a grudgingly thing, don't do it. It's the absolute opposite of one who gives to God, whatever it might be, with a cheerful heart, living under the law of hilarious generosity. And again, generosity, I'm not saying it's just about money. It's about time. If you've got a skill that, you know, that someone can use and you keep it, what good is it? What benefit is it? You know, I mean, the PowerPoint looks so much better today, and my thanks to Jim. But, you know, that's a skill that Jim has. And I'm not just, you know, highlighting Jim, because other people, you know, do things, you know. But, you know, that's done that way because he did it. You look in your bulletin today, and you see a whole page of announcements. You know, Linda Estep puts those things together. You know, that's a ministry of giving time. That, you know, that's a blessing, and that's an opportunity to serve. I see people out here every day. Well, not every day, but if you're here Monday through Friday, that would be fine. Making coffee, you know, and now I won't have to make my own coffee. But and I don't need those muffins every day. But that is a ministry of giving and a ministry of serving that is so needed as we grow the church and as we grow what our ministry is. The person living in hilarious generosity remembers that Christ was infinitely rich and he became poor for us. I am not technically sound. But that person, you know, realizes that, you know, that Christ, he had everything. He was in heaven. He was what? Sitting on the right hand of God. And he couldn't have asked for anything more other than, I can imagine one day God sitting there and tapping him on the shoulder and saying, "Hey, Jesus, I got a mission for you." And I'm sure Jesus looked around like we would and said, "Okay, what mission field is it?" And God looks at him and he said, "It's the whole world. I created this and I love it so much It's going to cost me you. That's got to be tough stuff. It's got to be tough stuff to say. It's got to be tough stuff to hear. But we know how tough it was for him to die, because when he was hanging on the cross, he said, "Let this cup pass from me." But then what did he do? "Father, forgive him." That is ultimate stewardship. You see, it's not about the money. It's about life. It's about how I choose to live it. It's like God chose to live it. We live it hilariously, and we live it happily as a cheerful person. Then we should really enjoy things. We should enjoy having life. We should enjoy life abundantly. Nancy mentioned last week about this as National Kindness Week. And I really did do an act of kindness this week. I cleaned the house. All because of Susan trying to sell it for us. But, you know, I mean, when you look at back over the week and you stop and think, what did I do this week that was kind? And you realize that in the life of a Christian, when it's all about your heart, you do a lot of stuff you don't stop and think about. Sometimes, folks, it's not doing something when it's not the right time or the right thing to do. We talked about that this morning in class. It's not always right to open up the wallet and give somebody something. It's not always right to enable people to do something that they can do on their own. Part of stewardship is being able to say no, because I don't think it's right. And that's part of living, you know, with the peace and joy that we have that Jesus gives us. So, you know, when you stop and really think about it and you're kind to someone, that's giving them something that they probably didn't expect, but it's probably something they needed. They needed some type of encouragement. They needed some type of pat on the back or some type of, you know, help along the way or whatever it was. So it's not all about money. Do we need money? Yeah. We couldn't be reaching people if we didn't. We wouldn't be buying flyers and buying expensive pens if we didn't have money. We wouldn't be able to do it. But we also wouldn't be able to tell somebody where Ross Community Church is if we didn't have those of us in here willing to serve and do something. I said earlier about Jesus forsaking what he had with the Father. His stewardship was given to you and me and eternal life in the kingdom. With that example of selfless giving, why not be good stewards of what he's blessed us with and see others reach the kingdom? God loves a cheerful giver, but he loves a cheerful servant. He loves somebody that comes in here and puts those tables up and makes coffee, because we're doing it for him. And we're doing it, you know, to serve one another. Think about the reasons to serve. Give your time, talent, skills, finances, joys. All that has given us the reason for hilarious generosity. God, with a full heart of perfect love and compassion, gave his only Son for our salvation. But he didn't leave us alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit as our comforter and as our guide. He gave us the promise of full and abundant life here on earth and the life forever in heaven. He also gives us full access to him, that if we have a need, we can take it to him, allowing us to ask for our needs. It's what he lets us do. How can we not consider living for him as a hilarious opportunity to be generous with all that we have? Don't miss this thought, if I can get it here. When we live in hilarious generosity, there's a conscious recognition of being a channel of blessing. And we know that and we understand it. What we do is pass on what God's given us. We don't keep it. We don't hoard it. We pass on our skills. We pass on our ability to serve. We pass on our ability to, you know, to give time and everything. We've got something coming up on the 28th. That's the right date, isn't it? Presbyterian Church, Hamilton, 5 to 7, Friday night, where we serve people in need. It's our turn to do that and serve them food. So far, I know of two people that are going to be there. I've heard more, but I know of two are going to be there. Me and the Queen, we're going to be there. So I would, if... Got that look. If put that on your calendar, we'll get some more information out to you a little bit. But it's an opportunity to serve and give our time. I can imagine what some of the disciples were thinking when Jesus had those five loaves and three fish, and he was going to split those things up, and they're figuring they'd given up everything when they went to follow him and to serve him. They didn't have anything. We talked this morning, wouldn't one of them bury their father? When you really stop and think about it, that's a tough decision. What am I going to do? So these disciples are passing out all this stuff, and you've got to stop and think, and they're looking and thinking, and this is weird. We got all this of these few loaves of bread and these three fish, and how's he going to do it? And they just keep passing it out and passing it out and passing it out. And then what do? They bring back stuff that they don't pass out. They've got leftovers. What was it, 12 baskets full of stuff they had left over? You talk about hilarious generosity. I could just imagine Jesus had a real fun time doing that and showing these guys. I'm not sure. He may, if he had a disciple named Tim, he may have tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, watch this." And Tim might have been amazed. But you stop and think about that. God doesn't promise to solve our problems, but he does promise to supply our needs. Now, a lot of us would like to have, all that, the problem solved. And I think, and I would too. But we live on this world in adversity. And we live on this world in tough times. Some of us have things wrong with us that, raise my hand, including me, that I wish I didn't have. But hey, God's still in control. And he still wants my service. He still wants my talent. He still wants my skill. He still wants my heart. And he still wants me to hang door hangers on doors. And he still wants me to leave pens where, I'm going to go out here to the Country Barrel someday and see 15 Ross Community Church pens out there. But that's what God wants. I started at practice yesterday? Yesterday, I think it was. And I left them on. So we'll see. I'm sure that probably nobody can, somebody from West, well, it did work. There were people from Westchester and Liberty Township here today. Did you see the pen?
Yeah.
All right. Just now. The Bible does assure us that God will meet our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And with our needs met, is there anything else we can really ask for when we really stop and think about it? What more can we do? What more can we do in return? The Bible says he's able to make all grace abound in you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. His purpose is that we serve him fully and give and serve hilariously in the process. So how do we do that? It sounds good, but how do we do it? The first thing is, don't talk yourself out of giving or serving. There's always got to be some practical application, to this. Don't talk yourself out of it. Whenever you have an opportunity to serve, or whenever you have an opportunity to give someone something, take that opportunity. Look for opportunities to use your gifts, to use your talents, to use your skills, to use your ability, yes, and use your money, to serve others. Look for ways for God to bless others through you for his purpose. Second thing, don't take money seriously. And I know that sometimes is hard to do because we do need it to, survive. But as Proverbs says, don't wear yourself out to get rich. That's pretty plain. You know, when you really stop and think about it, money's important. It's not everything. It can't bring long-term satisfaction. If you take it too seriously, it'll cloud your ability to have good judgment. If you take it too seriously. Now, is it serious stuff? Yeah, it's serious stuff. But it's not what it's all about. And then the third thing is, give and serve others with a smile, not a cringe. When you live and give hilariously, it's only natural to smile. It's not God's desire for us to go through life accumulating and holding on to stuff. He wants us to live our lives and give of ourselves just as He did. That's what He wants. So don't take it seriously. Don't talk yourself out of doing something. And when you do it with a smile. And when we serve food on the 28th, just do it with a smile. Let people know that we're enjoying doing this. That's stewardship. Stewardship. You see, it's not about the money. It's about the heart being obedient to a God that sent His Son so that we really never die. We just get from here to there and have a great time doing it. Have a great time doing it.